Today's first lesson will be Proverbs 12, 1 through 7. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but those who hate to be rebuked are stupid. The good obtain favor from the Lord, but those who devise evil he condemns. No one finds security by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will never be moved. A good wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are just. The advice of the wicked is treacherous. The words of the wicked are a deadly ambush, but the speech of the upright delivers them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. The word of God for the people of God.
My army training was always, if the technology fails, what's your backup plan? So if the computer dies, what are you going to do now? And so then I had a paper copy. So I still have a paper copy, so it takes me a minute to get to that. We have been, for the last few weeks, dealing with the militant church. The militant church is those of us who believe in Jesus who are still on planet Earth. Because we are fighting temptation and troubles and turmoil and all sorts of things. And we are trying our best to live lives of faith. We are part of the militant church. Now, our friends who have died and gone on to glory belong to the triumphant church. No longer are they fighting temptation. No longer are they dealing with any kind of trouble. Those folks are in the realms of glory, and that is our belief. And we'll practice that, and we'll see this early in November when we have All Saints Day. And we'll remember those in the congregation and others that we know on that day who have died and have become part of the church triumphant. But right now, right here, you and me, we're dealing with stuff. Have you noticed? You have. So in the first week, I talked about being Christian warriors. Christian warriors, we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God, and how we can be prepared as temptations and trials come, and with the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. We went over every single piece of the armor of God. The second week, we talked about being a prayer warrior. I encouraged you to take the bulletin home, turn it inside out, take it with a magnet or a piece of tape to your refrigerator. So every time that you went into the refrigerator, you would remember to pray for those on the prayer list. The next week, we had a whole list, a sheet like this, stuck to the pews. And there are a bunch of stickers. Every time somebody came in and put it and prayed for that particular pew, there was a sticker on it. Many people did that. Some people did, some people didn't. Some people just did a whole kind of blanket prayer. Lord, for the people who are going to sit in these pews, bless them. But some people came by every day. Some people came by once or twice a week. It just kind of depended on what their schedule was. And for the last 3 weeks, we've been doing this and had the church available to you to pray. And so we're practicing being prayer warriors. And this exercise in being a prayer warrior is coming to an end this day. But some of you might continue to do that, and if you do, that's just fine. The next week, we talked about being a church warrior and how the early church was involved and dedicated to different things, to the apostles' teachings and prayer and fellowship and breaking bread. We did all of that sort of thing, and how the church is part of the way we continue to fight and deal with all the troubles and trials of our lives. Last week, we talked about being a growing warrior, that we shouldn't be content with Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and that's all I know about the faith. We should be growing in our faith. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews last week, it told us in the Message translation to grow up. Stop drinking milk. Get to solid food. You should be teachers by now. And so I wanted to give you kind of a background for those of you who may be watching online and for those of you who are here. We're coming to now our last sermon in the Militant Church series. So this week, I want to talk to you about being a discipled warrior. Being discipled or being disciplined. Well, when you hear the word disciplined, what kind of images come to your mind? Okay, somebody in the back is pointing their finger at me like this one. All right, very good. Thank you. Structure. Okay, structure. We're going to talk about this today. So let's take a look at our first slide. This is, in growing up, there are some disciplines that are really good. Brushing your teeth is a really good discipline. Why? Permission to talk out loud in church. Why is that a good idea? So they don't fall out. So the teeth don't fall out of your head. So you don't get cavities. Some people brush every morning. Some people brush morning and night. Some people even floss. And some people go to the dentist twice a year. Why do they have this discipline? Because they want to take care of their teeth. Because mom and dad told us, brush your teeth. And mom and dad imposed this discipline upon us. You will do that. I will stand over you. And here we have two little delightful children in their fuzzy slippers brushing their teeth. Having discipline. Now, since we're talking about children, there's a school bus. Now, one of our members, June, was a school bus driver. And so I talked to her this morning about being a bus driver, because I've never been a bus driver. And I said, how long did you wait for them if they were running late? And she said, well, I'd honk. And somebody else told me you got to wait 2 minutes for them. And other people said, no, you don't. And so it was a discipline. There were times we had to get to someplace on time. How many of you have ever had a job? Many of you have had a job. Hundreds of you had a job, okay? Was there a specific time they expected to see your happy face? Yes. And if you got really tired and you came in, maybe your work time started. What time do you guys start work at your place? 8:30? She shows up at 10:30. Is that a problem? Nah, says Dad. If I come today on some Sunday and go, you know, I've been really busy. I just haven't had any time this week to do a sermon. Maybe come back next week and we'll have one for you. That's not going to fly, is it? There are certain disciplines that we all have. And they're good things in our lives. Whether it's brushing our teeth or getting to work on time or getting to school on time. It's a good discipline. Let's go to the next slide. And sometimes there are some disciplines that are imposed on us. Mom and Dad, bedtime. What time is bedtime over at your house? 8:30. All right. Bedtime is 8:30. However, he lays in bed and thinks in about till like 12. Okay. So. But mom has this idea that you should be in bed at a certain time because you need rest. You need to be ready for the day and be ready to go to school and learn things. And just it's marvelous. But sometimes we want to do what we want to do. Now, as you get older, my age, you long for bedtime. Bedtime can't come quick enough some days. When is this day going to be over? Let me just climb into bed and put the blankets over my head, please, because I want this day to be done. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The military, football practice. Go back, please. Now, most of us in downtown Hayworth, if we see somebody and we want to say hello, we wave. Hey, how you doing? In the military, we don't wave. We salute. Only during the pandemic did many civilians learn how to salute because it was a way to greet each other. Hand like a karate chop, fingers extended and joined, heels at a 45-degree angle. thumb on the first knuckle of the thing, on the first finger, along the pant leg, outside pant leg. Salute. Hands, fingers extended to join to the corner of the glasses, straight up, straight down. With the greeting of the day. Good morning, sir. Good afternoon, ma'am. There wasn't an option. It wasn't like seeing a superior officer and going, hey! Hey, General, how you doing? It's not what we do. And so there are some things that are imposed on us. Some of you know what it's like to have things imposed on. This is how it's going to be. Discipline. Let's go on. Football, do that too. There are some people, though, who don't like discipline at all. They don't like discipline at all. It's like, I don't want to do that. Now, here's the fella who's got a hammer in his... At first, I thought it was a CPAP. I thought the fella had a CPAP on, and I was going, what's so bad about wearing a CPAP? He's got a hammer in his hand trying to smash the alarm clock. The alarm has gone off. It is time to rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. And this guy's going, uh-uh. I had a friend in college who went through a number of alarm clocks. She would throw them across the room and destroy them against the brick wall because she didn't want to get up. And then there's a dog who's eaten the couch all to death. And there's a mountain of laundry just waiting to be done by somebody. It's not my dirty laundry. It's not my day to do the laundry. I don't want to do the laundry. And then we have somebody who's just couch potato, just laying there, sacked out. And sometimes we're just not interested in doing things. And there are times in our lives when we are very disciplined, but then we kind of lose track of what once kept us going really well. It's interesting the Bible deals with this. This is from the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Timothy is, Paul is writing to his son in ministry, Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 7. It's in your Bible. And this is what Paul writes to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that you may be, that I may be filled with joy. For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it's in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle afresh the gift of God for which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and discipline. Let me read that last verse to you again. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Now, next slide. Why would God do a thing like that? Timothy is now put in charge of a church. Paul has always been in charge, and now he's saying, okay, Timothy, lead these people. You're in charge now. In my library, I've got a book entitled, You're in Charge, Now What? Some of us who've been in charge understand that. It's like, I'm in charge, now what do I do? Okay. And Timothy is trying to deal with this, but Paul gives him some really wise words about, I've got some faith in you because I know your faith tradition and your spiritual background. I know that you have a gift, a spiritual gift, and everybody here has a spiritual gift. But I also want you to know that God's given you something. And God hasn't given you something. Have you ever received a gift that you really didn't like? Wow, golly, that sure is something, isn't it? I've never seen anything quite like this before in my life. But inside your mind, you're going, there's got to be a gift exchange where I can re-gift this to somebody else. It happens. So why would God give us this gift, these gifts? Why is this something we really even want? Well, God thinks we need it. God did not give us, let's give us the first one. God did not give you a spirit of timidity, of fear. So if God didn't give you the spirit of timidity and fear, who did? Did you learn that? Did you grow up learning? You should be afraid of that. You be careful, you're going to get hurt. Do we get it from mom and dad? Can we blame our parents for that? Can we? No, let's not do that. Does it come from someplace else more sinister? Satan? We want you to be afraid. We want you to be timid. As you live your life, just be scared of everything. It'd be great. No, it's not. No, it's not. But God gave us a spirit. Next, power. I don't know if parents still tell the story of the little train that could. But it's a story about a little train who's trying to go up a hill and he doesn't know if he can make it up. And the refrain over and over in the story is, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And finally he gets to the top of the hill and he starts going down and he goes, I knew I could, I knew I could, I knew I could. Sometimes we are facing things in our spiritual lives that require power and we need some help and God gives it to us. God has given us a spirit of power. Story told about a little boy who's out in the yard. He's trying to move a stone out of the middle of the yard, a great big rock. And he's pulling on and he's pushing on and he's doing all sorts of things. He's breaking out in sweat and everything. His father comes by and says, boy, what you doing? Because I'm going to move this rock out of the yard. Father says, using everything you've got available to you to get that rock out of their yard? He goes, yeah, I'm pushing on it, Dad, and I'm sweating and I'm pushing and pulling on it. I'm doing everything. Dad says, have you asked for my help? So many times we're trying to do so many different things in our lives and it's not working the way we want it to and we're pushing and pulling and we're breaking out of sweat and we're just going through all these gyrations. Have we talked to God? Have we sought the power that God has in our lives? God's given us a spirit of power. Ask for it. Lord, I need some help getting this done. Please. Can I get an assist here? God's given us a spirit of power. And so when we're trying to go up steep times in our lives, when we are struggling, or when we're trying to push a rock uphill and it feels like we're trying to move the world, there's a spirit of power that's available to us. I think we need to ask for it. It's also given us a spirit of love. Now, Paul is talking to Timothy. Power to deal with things that happen in the church. Love that happens within the church. I joke with people about if I don't have time for people, I'm in the wrong business. It's a saying I have. It's a Johnstonism, if you'd like. If you don't love the people, there's a problem if you're a pastor. Because, you see, each one of you are good enough for Jesus to die on the cross for. Just like he was good enough to die on the cross for me. And if Jesus loves me that much, I think I should love you that much. And so there's this, hopefully, in every congregation, and we're not going to agree on everything. I understand that. But let the underlying emotion of our relationship be that we love one another. I know you're going to vote for people I don't vote for, and I know you're going to root for baseball teams that I wouldn't root for, but you're good enough for Jesus. You're good enough for me. And we should be good enough for each other. That's why we pray for each other and encourage each other, and we're here to support one another. God has given us a spirit of love. And that love is not just all touchy-feely, emotional, ooey-gooey stuff. It's how we live. It's how we work with each other. It's how we help one another. It's how we come alongside each other in times of joy and celebration, and how we come along each other's side in times of sadness and sorrow and grief and loss and when life is going nuts. We're to love one another. The spirit of love is part of being a Christian. Now, said all that to say this, discipline, spiritual discipline. Some people have come in to the church in the last 3 weeks and have prayed the pews. Some have come every day. Some have come once a week. Some have come different times. It's a discipline. And discipline isn't easy. Have you noticed? There was a time in my life, and maybe in yours, when I did not have to take one single pill. Huh? Remember when you had a life when you had no medication to take? Oh, but now life is interesting because now I have morning meds and I have evening meds. And I know people who have to take their meds with a full stomach, and they have different meds they have to take on an empty stomach. And I have this doctor, and you may have one a lot like it, who tells me if I lost some weight, maybe I wouldn't have to be on some of those meds. But it would be easier. You see, the discipline is easy. I want you to stop eating like you're 18 years old and you have a metabolism like you're 18, because you're not 18 anymore, as much as you'd like to think that. And I'd like you to start walking more. You do have a treadmill in your home, right? You told me that before. Yes, I do have a treadmill in my home. Could you walk on it 30 minutes a day? Yeah, I could. Discipline. And discipline's hard because sometimes it means change. But I also know that discipline means freedom. Wouldn't it be marvelous to start my day or in my day and not have to take one stinking pill? Yes! I would love that. And what's going to change that for me? The discipline to exercise and eat right. Do I know that? Do we know that as a country, that we would be healthier and our health care costs would be lower if we would take care of ourselves and have discipline? Yeah, we all know that. I've read it. We've studied it. And discipline. But spiritual discipline of reading the Bible and praying and having a time. I wish I could be... wish I knew more about the Bible. I wish I was better at praying. I wish I was better at stuff. Sometimes it happens to us, doesn't it? Where we have this longing to have our life with a sense of freedom, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual or intellectual. You ever heard somebody say, I wish I could play the piano? Why, I'd give anything to play the piano, except take lessons and practice. But I'd give anything. And we're all kind of looking for some magic powder or super pill or some sort of something that will give us just a shortcut, and suddenly you can just walk over to the piano and pretend you're Liberace. We long for something, but in discipline there isn't a shortcut. It's the hard work. It's that making the decision to be disciplined. And how am I going to do that in my life? And sometimes there were times in our lives when we were very disciplined and then things changed. It happened. I retired. I graduated. It wasn't this or that. Let's go on. So how can we be disciplined warriors? Let's go to that one. Okay, number one. You and I have got to make a decision. Am I or am I not going to get on the treadmill today? Got to make a decision. Well, maybe I'll get on the treadmill tomorrow. I'll start on Monday. You see, Monday is a great day to start things as opposed to Sunday, because Sunday is a day of rest. See, I can come up with an excuse. And we're going to pay a price. Either a price of regret, I wish I would have done this. Or we're going to pay the price of discipline that says, I did it and I'm free. So we have to make some choices. What door am I going to take? How am I going to make a difference in my life? Next. You got to start. Now, January is always a great time for resolutions and setting goals and all that sort of thing. And you can have all the goals in the world, but sometimes you just got to flat out do it. Sometimes that's hard. What I found helpful in my life, one time in the Army, I did not do well on a run with the unit, and my partner and I came in last in this run. It wasn't a PT run, but it was a fun run. That's an oxymoron. And so we decided what we would do is we would start working on our running. So my running partner and I, we would start it out the first week. We went out 5 minutes and ran back 5 minutes. And next week we did 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes. And by the time we were doing 30 minutes out, we were doing 30 minutes back, and we're running an hour a day. And you know what? I didn't have any problems, because all the endorphins in my brain were kicking in and I was having a runner's high and life was gorgeous and wonderful and my wife and I got along great. I didn't have any problems. She said I was delightful to live with. It was. She kind of looks back at that with great longing. But then we ran our race and it was over and I stopped running an hour. Stopped running half an hour. I ran the 2 miles that I had to run in the Army, and that was it. And my life got different. But we've got to choose to start. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. You just got to start. Next. Keep calm, keep going. We have to maintain it. Sometimes that helps with somebody holding you accountable, like a running partner or a friend. Sometimes you got to maintain it. Just somebody saying to you, how's it with your soul? How's your prayer life? You and God still on talking terms? Learn anything new in the Bible? Well, I don't even know how to start. Today I had Jerry read from the book of Proverbs. This is an easy one. You ready for it? 31 chapters in Proverbs. Whatever day of the month it is, read that chapter. What if I miss a day? Whatever day of the month it is, read that chapter. And you will expose yourself to the wisdom of God on a daily basis. Different people do it different ways. Do what works for you. Pray as you can, not as you can't. Do what works so that the discipline will set you free to be the person that God wants you to be, the person God wants all of us to be. We're going to pay a price. Regret or discipline? What price do you want to pay? It's really up to you. Amen.